This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine conflict. The phases of the war so far. Beginning late February, we now enter the summer campaigns of the Russian forces and the Ukrainian forces. What have we learned so far? What are we witnessing now? What does the future look like? Fog of war. We're talking in generalities from the battlefield reports from both sides, from all sides, because NATO's involved in reporting as well. I welcome geopolitical futures analyst Ridvan Bari-Acosta, who is in Warsaw. He's a Ukrainian. And Alison Federka, an American. She's in Washington. Alison, Ridvan, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. I begin with you, Ridvan, because we're looking at your country and in torn in pieces with Donbass now colored in so that Russia appears to have military control. But you and Alison report of the phases of the war, two phases so far, phase one and phase two. Phase one, you and Alison report, was a Russian defeat. What does that mean? What did the Russians learn? Good evening to you, Ridvan.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. So the phase one, it was real defeat for Russians because they tried to achieve at the same time political and military goals. So first I said political because I would say the march on Kyiv was a miscalculation, definitely, and it was recognized by the Russian experts and, of course, by the Western and Ukrainian military experts that it was failure. But at the same time, it was like a sober understanding of the geographical specificity of Ukraine, because Ukraine is an enormous country. It's almost 600,000 square kilometers. And this particular defeat, why actually it happened, it was due to the understanding that they didn't achieve political goal, that Ukrainian leadership didn't collapse, the capital withstand against Russian aggressions, people withstand, decided to fight. So they didn't achieve political goals, but at the same time, they had opportunity to stay, fight in Kyiv, nearby, around Kyiv, and continue the fighting. But, as I said, it's geography. Geography says that the area of the northern Ukraine is covered by forest. And we need to remember that it was the end of the March, beginning of the March. So it was a spring was upcoming. The green forest was ahead of the Russian forces. And they understood that it would be great. They would facing guerrilla warfare against their army, and they withdraw. So I would say it's defeat, definitely. But at the same time, we need to understand that they had sober understanding that they shouldn't stay in this area longer than they stayed before.
Alison, the first phase also included invasions from the northeast and from the east, out of Crimea, but also from Rostov, from Russia itself, into what is called the Donbass, trailing down to Crimea. That also did not go well, chiefly around the city of Mariupol on the Sea of Azov, which was weeks in falling despite the boasting of Moscow. What did they learn in phase one in Donbass, Kherson, and the conflict along the Black Sea basin?
So I think what they learned in that particular instance of phase one is don't try to do too much all at one time. Russia had multiple fronts going on in different parts of Ukraine. You've listed them out in your question right there. And when you do that, you divide a lot of your resources and you divide a lot of your fighting power, which is going to dilute your potency to some degree. It also makes it a lot more difficult to coordinate having one centralized front versus three or four different fronts and all of the different moving parts and units, logistical supply lines that need to be given to multiple different fronts. And that's extremely difficult to do. It's very time consuming. And that was a huge challenge that Russia was not quite up to the task for in terms of being able to supply all of those troops, reinforce all of those troops, and keep that fighting going at a pace where they could be more effective more quickly against the Ukrainian forces. And particularly with Donbass, as you mentioned, the troublesome thing there is Luhansk and Donbass were in essentially de facto Russian territories or Russian occupied prior to the war. And the concerning thing for Russia at that point was also this is areas that they should have controlled pretty quickly, pretty fast. And it really shouldn't have been that hotly contested in that they had a strong foothold in this area compared to the rest of Ukraine, where they had to initially go in and establish a foothold. And even there, they did not perform as strongly, I think, as they initially anticipated, because they thought, well, we already are here. We have a foothold. We should be able to move in more quickly, more directly. And that was not the case. They were much more dispersed and had a lot more logistical problems across Ukraine for the multiple fronts that they needed to deal with.
And the loss in the first phase, lessons learned, Allison. What did they learn about logistics, about the terrain? Or did they just go ahead into the second phase without applying lessons?
Oh, they applied lessons learned, for sure. They learned to, one, concentrate their forces on specific fronts and not to have multiple fronts. As we see now, they are more concentrated in the east and the southeast of Ukraine. They have a much more focus on military objectives and looking at things through a more military lens, as opposed to both military and political, as Ridvan mentioned at the beginning. And they've also learned how to establish confrontation lines and battle lines with Ukraine that avoid or discourage the guerrilla warfare that Ridvan was talking about and encourages Ukrainian troops to engage with Russia along a more traditional line of attack, which plays to the Russian strengths, as opposed to having a traditional military trying to confront a guerrilla warfare tactic.
Ridvan, we'll move to the second phase now, lessons learned. For the Russian forces, you report three distinct settings that the Russians must account for. The cities, we see how urban warfare drains resources. The grain fields within the forest belt and the riverine systems. Right now, will you say that the city fighting is over in Donbass, at least as far as the reporting is concerned? And are we into the grain fields and forest belt? Is that where we are now?
Actually, partially, because we have different zones, I would say war zones, only in the Donbass. So, and it's suggesting that in the near future, if Russian forces are going to advance, they would face at least three specific zones. First zone, it's Seversk and Bakhmut. It's on the northern part of the war theater. Second in Kramatorsk and Slavyansk. And after that, it's area of the Donetsk region, which is totally covered by small cities or small villages. And but Russia is not moving into this area. It's a southern Donetsk region. Why? Because it's totally covered by Ukrainian fortifications. Really serious fortifications Ukrainian develop in this area.
This area you're talking about, this is north of Donetsk? Is that where we are? North of Donetsk?
No. Southern Donetsk, south of Donetsk region.
I see. But north of Donetsk is also a region that the Russians have struggled with, crossing the Donets River. Is that area now secure for Russia?
Exactly. So second phase was really concentrated on the controlling entire basin, let's say right basin of the Severodonetsk River. But now they are approaching to the Ukrainian forces and from the other side of the river. So let's say within last couple months, they achieved total control over the right bank of the river, Severodonetsk. But now the fighting is happening from the Lysychansk, Seversk, Bakhmut, and Slavyansk, Kramatorsk. It is exactly other side of the river. So the geography really matters for this war.
So this is not secure. And Allison, the Russian forces, the reporting is random, and so I'm generalizing. Have the Russian forces solved their supply problems? Have they solved their communication problems talked about in the first phase? And are they moving smoothly now between artillery and infantry? Or is it still scattershot?
It is not as scattershot as it was before. The supply lines right now are much more secure than they were in the beginning of phase one, primarily because if you look at the map, you have Russia right to the east of where the main fighting is taking place. And so they have centralized their supply lines. They have shorter supply lines and they have direct access to the battlefield now for those supply lines. So those are much more secure this time around than they were in phase one, especially when you look at the fighting that took place in northern Ukraine. We are seeing the Russians advance slowly, and they're somewhat more effective now, so that we see them targeting more strategic infrastructure with their attacks, trying to debilitate the Ukrainian forces in a more strategic manner. And then we are also seeing them be effective in advancing. But again, they're still advancing very slowly. This is not a very fast movement by any means. And on that front, you could make the argument that perhaps they should be moving faster if they want to be more effective and have a better advantage with accomplishing their goals of gaining more ground in Ukraine.
And right now we're still in phase two, but we can look to the future. I'm looking at a map with Ridvan Barry-Acosta and Alison Federka. What comes next involves drones, but also involves the expectation of fighting on those grain fields and in the riverine system. What does that mean for the challenge to the Russian forces to advance? I'm speaking with two members of the analyst team at Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.